We're talking with a longtime publisher and author who's championed diversity in children's literature for decades now and how she views Black History Month. But first, let's talk about the last day of our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Mike Crane. Hi there, Mike.
Good morning, Kate.
And we're here to say that your support is so critical. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
That's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. Now, you've been meaning to give, right? So do it now on the last day of this drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Let's finish strong. And thank you to everyone who gave last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 25 gifts.
And these hourly gifts are important because they help us stay on track financially. Then we can keep the discussions going strong here on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes the morning show possible, makes the whole Ideas Network possible. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on the Ideas Network. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our world, it gets more complex by the day. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language, into how it will impact you so you know how things will affect you in your life.
And for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial support. It's the largest source of our funding. And that's why we ask that if you've never given before, make your first ever contribution now. $10 a month would be great. That's $120 if you want to do it all at once during this ending winter membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of our winter member drive, and we have an exciting drawing. You'll be entered to win $500 to spend at your favorite sporting goods store. When you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you love, you'll have five chances to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. You can see all the rules at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift you decide is $10 a month. Maybe you decide it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose that you set it at, that is the right amount.
I'm sure you're having a busy morning, and we know you value your time. So do we. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, therefore, takes just a few minutes. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick, it is easy to do, and your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have about, 50 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 18 more people. So we're already hearing from some. That's great, but more people should join in, and we'll make it really easy because all you have to do is call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org.
And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll be entered into an exciting drawing. Five lucky people will win $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. No contribution is necessary. You can go to WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, how about becoming one right now? It's really easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
Abigail in Madison says, I've been listening to WPR since I was born. And now that I grew up, it all only seems right that I support it, just like my parents. Ellen says, you always have interesting things on your programs. Thank you, Abigail. Thanks, Ellen. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Children need to be able to see themselves represented in books, right? And publishers have made inroads, some progress in addressing the gaps in representation, but there's a whole lot of work to do. The UW Cooperative Children's Book Center, it tracks diversity in children's lit. In 2019, the newest numbers, roughly 12% of children's books from U.S. publishers featured Black characters. 12%. Did you see yourself represented in books when you were growing up? How do you see Black culture in picture books? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Conversation at 800-642-1234. Cheryl Willis-Hudson is co-founder of Just Us Books. It's an independent publisher of Black interest books for children and young adults. She's written more than 25 books for young kids. Cheryl, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start when you attended school. You attended segregated schools in the 50s and 60s. What was it like for your awareness for Black history and culture when you were a child?
Well, I started school, and I'm giving away my age here, but I started school in 1954. The Supreme Court decision that year, Brown versus Board of Education. My schools were all Black. I lived in a segregated community in Virginia. Black kids went to Black schools, white kids went to white schools. And that happened until the time I graduated from high school, even though the Supreme Court decision had been made. So living in separate communities meant that we were separate but unequal. We had unequal schools that were not equipped with the same books or the same labs or the same anything. But we lived in loving communities that were supported, and Black was still beautiful for us. My mother was a teacher. We experienced Black culture because we were at that time Negroes, but that was our that was our life.
Who did you look up to at that time when you were able to go to the library? What books did you pull off the shelf?
Well, that's a good question, because we were not able to go to the library. Libraries were not available to us. As a matter of fact, our community started a community library, started by a friend of our family's, Miss Bertha Edwards. And it was a community library that Black people paid for and raised money for so that we could have access to books. I got my first library card when I was about 13 years old, and there was an attempt to integrate the white library in our town. So access was limited. It was not available at all. And we had separate institutions, but those institutions supported our culture and our history.
As you grew up and you entered the publishing industry, you were an art editor for some time, but art departments did what was known as whitewashing in literature. Can you explain what was happening?
Well, my first job in publishing was with educational publishers during 1970. And at that time, there were very few, if any, people of color who were illustrated in textbooks, whether they were on math or science or literature or in reading books. So one of the first jobs that I had to do as an art editor trainee with the company was to color in the white faces so that they would appear to be people of color. So that was kind of a reverse, and the reverse of that happened later when more books were being published about Black people, but sometimes the covers of those books were deleted of color in some ways to make the books more palatable to the larger population. So it's been a complex kind of situation in publishing that really has to do with access, availability, who's editing the books, who's buying manuscripts, who's making the decisions about what kind of content goes into books. And those were textbooks. So we're also talking about now trade books, or books that are available through the library, or books that are read for pleasure rather than strictly for instruction. But the same kinds of standards have been applied in both areas.
Cheryl, you've been in the book publishing industry for decades. What is the status? How far has it come in terms of publishing multicultural, diverse books?
It's been a struggle. I think you had mentioned some of the statistics that CCBC, which is actually the Cooperative Book Center, is located in Madison and comprised of librarians who keep track of the number of books that are published. It's been there's been some growth. There's been some more efforts at inclusion. There's a lot more work that needs to be done because of what the canon is. Just as Books, which is a company that was founded by my husband and myself 33 years ago, really tried to address this need for more diversity within our culture and making more books with African-American children at the center of the story, more accessible to everyone. There were a few books that had been published in the mid-60s, with one Black child who was the kind of the outsider or was asked to be brought into a situation. We need books where children are centered in the story and they're not marginalized. So there's been progress, but there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
We are talking with author and publisher Cheryl Willis Hudson. She heads an independent publisher of Black Interest Books for children and young adults. Have you checked out the diverse Book Finder catalog with more than 3,000 titles? Where do you learn about diverse children's books? What have you been reading during Black History Month? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment, there's more discussion ahead with Cheryl Willis Hudson here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about sharing stories with our kids that celebrate people from all walks of life. And we're learning from a longtime children's book author and publisher about diversity and representation. Now let's check in on the last day of our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Mike Crane, and we're here to say that your gift of any amount makes a big difference.
That's right. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So that means your support funds the morning show, as well as all the other Ideas Network shows you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, so 40 or so minutes left this hour. We are looking for 13 more people to join in. Excuse me, 13, baker's dozen. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Every day, every single day, our team works hard to bring you a great morning lineup of radio. And that is an absolute pleasure because we know that you're curious. We know you're intelligent. You ask great questions. We also know you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
Thank you so much for being a great audience, great callers, and for being the reason we do what we do right here at WPR. And you can give one more thing. That's your financial support, because it helps to make these mornings possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
A lot of people give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive support the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy heather gray t-shirt features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky.
It's the kind of t-shirt you want to wear just about all the time, going to the store, walking the dog, and expect people to make comments, because it's lovely.
I would wear my new WPR t-shirt to the dog park to enjoy the Wisconsin outdoors with my two golden retrievers.
You can wear it anywhere, honestly.
Ask for yours now when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane, and it's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
So here's a suggestion. Maybe you're already donating as a sustaining member. Thank you so much. Would you consider making an extra gift in thanks for the great programs that you listen to every day? It's really easy to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in during this drive, which ends today, and thank you for your extra support when you provide it for the programs you enjoy every day.
37 minutes left this hour. We are looking for 13 more people to join in to be part of this community of sustainers. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe ask for the WPR t-shirt. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now we're discussing children's books with diverse characters as an avenue to having deeper conversations with our kids during Black History Month. What is your resource for finding diverse books? Do you seek out multicultural, what are called any child books? Are there heroes of color in a children's book you and your child appreciate? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Cheryl Willis-Hudson is a longtime independent publisher and author based in New Jersey, and she stays with us. Cheryl, you know, there is growing awareness for reading multicultural, so-called any child books. The characters are diverse, but their race isn't a key plot line for the book. Have you seen inroads here in these any child books?
Well, you know, any child books can refer to books really that are universal, but also culturally specific. So I think that what has happened in terms of just the language and how people see books and how people see history is that there's history and then there's Black history. Mm. But we don't look at it in the same way. We think that African-American history, Black history is a part of American history, so that books with a strong African-American character or a strong Asian character or Native American character, those books are universal too. So those books are any child books. So I'm not sure if that's a misnomer or not, but multicultural books involve children of all backgrounds and not just a marginalized child who is different from the white child, which is the standard. So I think we have to look at language in terms of how we talk about books as well, because a book like When I Was Little, for example, which is published by Justice Books, is a book about a grandfather and his grandson who happened to go fishing one day. And the grandfather is African-American, and so is his grandchild. And they're talking about going fishing and how things were happening back in the day. But that's a universal book. Any child should be able to look at that book and identify with the little boy because he has a grandfather, the love between them, the questions that they ask one another. So that is an any child book. In my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not sure if that answers the question.
Yeah, let's take a call. Diane is joining us from Watertown with a couple book recommendations. Hi, Diane.
Hi, I just love this topic. As a new grandma, I pulled out some of the books I read my own children, And I found a favorite that was published in 1990. It's called More, 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 Said the Baby by Vera Williams. And I'm looking at the cover right now. It starts with three little kids, and all three are obviously different races. And in the book, they're all treated exactly the same. It's a wonderful, wonderful. I love the rhyme and the story in it. But I was really happy to see that as a mom, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I was reading some books that had a little diversity in them. And also, Helen Oxenberry has quite a few board books that it's just natural that the babies don't all just look the same. And to me, starting them that young is very important.
Diane, thank you for those suggestions and for sharing your story. Cheryl, what do you think there of the books Diane suggested?
Well, actually, both of those books are great. I knew Vera Williams is a wonderful writer and a member of PEN. We were members of PEN America's Children's and Young Adult Book Committee. And her books and stories are very inclusive. But the thing that I would like to, and a wonderful person, a wonderful writer and a wonderful illustrator, she's no longer with us. The same is true of Helen Oxenberry. But what I would like the audience and listeners and readers in particular to pay attention to is who the authors are and who the illustrators are, and when books that are considered multicultural are named, that some of the authors will be African-American authors. They will be Native American authors. Those books are multicultural too. And I'm thinking that Diane or the caller is reading good books. But what happens is sometimes we read, and as parents, we read the books and we pass on books to our children that we loved as children. And those books, maybe 50 years ago or 60 years ago, were not necessarily multicultural. So we've got to be more inclusive in terms of bringing in authentic voices as well from all different backgrounds.
Cheryl Willis-Hudson is with us for the hour. She's author of dozens of children's books and has been an independent publisher since the late 80s. We'll continue this conversation ahead. News Update is next on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we celebrate multicultural children's books and how to champion Black heroes and main characters in YA storytelling. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike Crane is here, and we don't have much longer to ask for your support. Listener support, it is the largest source of funding for the programs you love. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Kate, we have about 24 minutes left in the hour, and we're having a great hour. It's so exciting as we end our member drive today to be hearing from people that want to make sure that WPR is strong. So if you haven't given yet, let me tell you, your gift right now is so important because you support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is just really an interesting hour, and I hope people are getting a lot out of it. I sure am, listening to suggestions for what I might read my grandkids in the near future. And very appreciative of all the wonderful topics we have on the Ideas Network here on the morning show, where we do take care to think about how all of our children are raised. And these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And really, that make the gift that works for you. And maybe that's $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family's phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. So put a value on it, like other things that are important to you in life, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison. If we want to keep Wisconsin Public Radio, we have to support it.
There have been times when I haven't been able to give, even between the time I was a student and now. Even if you're able to give a little bit, I think that makes a big difference. And the sustaining membership, where automatically every month it comes out of your checking account, you don't notice it so much that way. And it's super easy, and I think it makes a difference.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane, and it is your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all these great programs you value in going strong. So whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Well, you know, and feeling good, as those ladies said, is really, it's true. You feel good when you've made your support to WPR. So support the programs you love right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then you can do one more thing. Check with your employer about matching your gift.
Yes, yes, yes. Many employers will match their employees' gifts, even retired employees, to mirror the good they do in the community. So ask your HR department, or after you've made your gift, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Check for your company on our website at WPR.org/match. That's WPR.org/match. Thank you for going that extra step for the programs you care about.
We've had just a wonderful hour. We surpassed our hourly goal. You know,
wow.
Sometimes we fall short, but we had 25 people already join, and we'd love to hear from you. You make WPR possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ellen in Black River Falls says WPR is the best part of my day. Randy in Madison says WPR keeps me connected to Wisconsin while I winter in Florida. Thank you. Thank you both, Ellen and Randy. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Now we're talking about diverse children's books. American Girl, which is headquartered in Middleton, launched a new resource for families last week called Conversations for Change. And the company said that this platform will highlight female trailblazers and American Girl's created timeless stories and diverse characters who show girls how to change the world with courage, resilience, and kindness. What are your favorite children's books that promote empathy and equality and respect? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here at 800-642-1234. We have publisher and author Cheryl Willis Hudson, and she's going to offer a list of book titles to help children and families celebrate Black History Month. Let's first go to Carla first in Milwaukee. Hi, Carla.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead. Hey. Yeah.
Well, I'm a previous book owner in Milwaukee. I owned the Reader's Choice for about 28 years. And so I've had the honor and the pleasure of meeting Cheryl and her husband, Wade, many, many times at the American Booksellers Association convention. And so I wanted to call in and say how absolutely essential it is that she and her husband have done the writing and the publishing, particularly the publishing of books about the African American, and particularly those for children. I came into the another room to look at the bookshelves for children's books, and it just occurred to me, looking at this shelf, it's only this bookcase, it's only three shelves, but there are at least 60 books here. And looking at all the other publishers that are out there, and it occurs to me that publishing makes for publishing is a big reason that there are so few books out there for about the African, well done books, let me put it that way, well done books about the for the African American child. So the publishing that the Hudsons have done is just really, really essential.
Oh,
I'm
Carla.
Powerful Words by Wade Hudson, and I would certainly recommend that book, Powerful Words.
Powerful Words. Yeah, Carla, Words. Thank you so much for sharing Cheryl's impact on the publishing world. Cheryl, what would you like to say?
Well, first of all, hi, Carla, and thank you so much for supporting Just Us Books and what we've done. What I'd like to say is that I think what she was saying about publishing is that there are five major big publishing companies left in the United States, but there are hundreds of independent presses, and Just Us Books is one of those independent presses. And in terms of the percentage of books that we have published on the Black culture, we probably have published more than some of the major companies in terms of percentage and size. But it's very important that we have that independent voice, because we are African Americans. Our company is African Americans. We hire and acquire manuscripts from African Americans. Most of the major publishing companies, I would say, are 85% white. And there are very few editors, art directors, and people in marketing in the major or commercial publishing houses. So that's a very important point, to have people in those decision-making places that will acquire more manuscripts that speak to the diversity and the excellence of Black culture. So I thank Carla for supporting us as independent publishing, as an independent publishing company.
Well, how about we get into some of these books? Let's start with The Talk, Conversations About Race, Love, and Truth. And that was edited by you and your husband, Wade.
Yes, that is an anthology, and I'm so glad that you're mentioning that, because it's such a crucial conversation that everyone needs to have. We know what kinds of things that have been occurring in our society with respect to social justice, inclusion, diversity, and we need to talk about these important conversations. So this book is an anthology for middle readers, age 10 and up. And what we did in this anthology was we partnered with a larger commercial publishing house, Crown, which is a part of Random House, to bring together an anthology of multiple voices that talk about love and truth and the real history of diverse people. So we're not just talking about having that talk with that African-American parents may have with their children about how to navigate in a world that is full of social injustice in some ways, or how to navigate being stopped by the police, or what to expect. Those are conversations that African-American parents have had forever with their children as they grow older. But all of us in our country need to have conversations. And this anthology brings together 30 voices from diverse backgrounds, including Nikki Grimes and Gordon James, Corey Maldonado, Meg Medina, Daniel Neri, Zeke Pena, Peter Reynolds, diverse voices that talk about truth and how social justice or race affects them in dealing with children for whom they write and illustrate. So it's a very important, powerful conversation.
I want to look at the really young kids for a moment and the origin of Afrobets, your ABC book. How did you come up with this idea?
Oh, wow. That's another great question. Actually, our our work as publishers and as writers really centers around the need to get books in the hands of our own children and for them to read. So actually, Afrobets was goes back to our children. I was looking for a place to kind of decorate our daughter's nursery with photographs and pictures, and had difficulty finding them. So I started drawing these little characters, and I spelled out her name. Her name is Keturah. And I drew these just doodles of characters, letters of the alphabet. And we coined them Afrobets because they were African-American kids. And I had about 26 or 27 of them every time I would draw something different. And my friend started asking, well, will you make me a nameplate of my child? So Afrobets came out of that, exercise with our own children. And then we narrowed them down to six characters who had different skin tones, different hairstyles, different personalities. They wore different kinds of clothes, but they were the Afrobets kids. So A then became A is for apple, A is for alligator, and A is also for Africa. So it's a book, an alphabet book, which starts out with letters, and then we kind of built a brand around them and the rest of our company. That was the first book, actually, which was self-published in 1987.
Wow, what a story. What an amazing story. We're talking about teaching Black History Month to kids with Cheryl Willis Hudson. She heads up an independent publishing company, creates Black interest books for children and young adults, has so for decades, author of dozens of books for young children. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's move on to one of your books you've written, Brave Black First, 50-plus African-American Women Who Changed the World. Can you introduce us to this piece, this book?
This book is a wonderful project that I published with Crown, and it's in association with the Smithsonian, the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And again, this is a collection. It's 50 African American women who changed the world, who did something first. And these women, we could have written the first 100 women, we could have done 200, but there are some wonderful biographies. They're short biographies, and it's illustrated, but the stories of each one of the women talks about their importance as an African-American woman, or something that they did first. The first entry is Ruby Bridges, who integrated schools in New Orleans in 1960, and who was met by a raging mob. Mm. She was the first one to integrate the school, and ended up going to school for an entire year in a class all by herself because white parents withdrew their kids from the school and the class. So it's an important story about desegregating the school system in New Orleans, but it's a larger story about her bravery and persistence and life after that incident as a six-year-old. So some of the women include people like Ruby Bridges, Shirley Chisholm, Lena Horne, Madam C.J. Walker, people who made an impact in history.
I want to land on Unspeakable, the Tulsa Race Massacre, and this book by Carol Boston Weatherford just came out. What did you see in Unspeakable?
I saw in Unspeakable a beautiful picture book that captured a moment in history that was unspeakable for its terror. Mm. Over 300 Black men and women and children were killed. 8,000 families lost their homes. A whole neighborhood, a whole community was destroyed. But this was a moment in history that was erased. It was even spoken about for almost 75 years. This is the 100th year of that massacre. It occurred in 1921. But it speaks to the power of picture books to present history to younger children and even to older children, and a history of African Americans that has largely been erased or ignored or marginalized. So even though it's a terrible tragedy that occurred, picture books are, and this was illustrated by the wonderful Floyd Cooper, picture books are a way of capturing history and introducing African-American history to all children at a very young age. And it's very important because it's so well done, and it just tells the story. And it kids identify, pictures tell the story, and picture books are such a wonderful art form.
Yeah,
because they are so short, but when they're done and they're done well, they can make a lasting impression and impact.
Cheryl, thank you for joining us and giving these works a voice for so many decades.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheryl Willis-Hudson, Vice President and Editorial Director, co-founder of Just Us Books, author of more than 25 books for young children. Find out more about the books we've discussed, go to WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive, and I'm Kate Archer-Kent, host of The Morning Show, here with Mike Crane. We're here to say your contribution keeps The Morning Show and WPR strong and vibrant. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a big difference because the largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from people just like you. So donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, we're approaching the end of The Morning Show, and I'm thinking about the morning and all the amazing things we've heard. This wonderful conversation we just wrapped up with Cheryl Willis-Hudson about the wonderful books that we can have for our kids and our grandkids if we're paying attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we heard from our Capitol reporter, and we heard earlier this morning all about science, and just a wonderful selection of shows. And they're made possible by listeners who make contributions. And during this hour, we've gone 10 over our goal, which is terrific. And today is the last day of the drive. So make your gift, if you haven't done so already, to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs, they are listener powered, and that means that your donation right now, it makes a difference. Get on board at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It was really interesting to think about all of the history that Cheryl was talking about that is being restored to us because our culture's paying more attention, and that there are ways to tell our kids those great stories. Those are the kinds of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
We have a beautiful new T-shirt this year, and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. It's a heather gray tee that features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky. So you didn't know, but there's a badger in the night sky, apparently. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for that T-shirt today. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun. Well, I'm not very pleasant until I have my coffee, or at least get it in the cup. But in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I turn it on my computer. And I can honestly say when I do return to Florida, I will always listen to WPR. I will always be interested in Wisconsin politics. I will always care about the state of Wisconsin because of WPR.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your support during this winter member drive on the last day is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
I love the sentiment. I will always care about Wisconsin because of WPR. That's wonderful sentiment. Thank you, everybody who's giving. We're now 11 donations over the hourly goal. And you can still get in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gretchen in Verona says, WPR brings me joy every morning. Your gift right now spreads joy. It's so important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support.